Well, good morning, everybody. Never done this before, so I ask that you bear with me. We'll see how this goes. When we're talking about preaching, Larry, as he usually does, offered some really good advice as to what to preach on. He said, hope, forgiveness, mercy. And then he summed it up with being more Christ-like, a call for us all to be more Christ-like. Because if that's where the church is going, we're headed in the right direction. And then I stewed on that and thought about forgiveness. Forgiveness is probably something I struggle with a lot, or I know I struggle with it a lot. It's not easy, and I can look around the world and see that forgiveness is difficult for a lot of people. I know we know it's important. We know we're called to do it. But do we do it? And that's where I came up with, I titled the message, Practicing Forgiveness. Is it our practice to forgive? You know, in life, we practice many things. Some people practice medicine, practice law, you know, I practice ranching, working on it. Some people practice roping. You practice basketball, all sorts of things that we view as important and that we dedicate time and thought and effort to getting right. But do we do that with forgiveness? Is it our practice to forgive? And a lot of times, no, I'd say it's easy not to forgive because when you're hurt or sinned against, you feel justified, feel justified in anger, in not letting go, feel like the other person deserves my anger, and you hang on to bitterness and ill will, and that's not healthy. And that's when I chose the verse for the bulletin, I kind of thought it helped frame a mindset that we should go into practicing with. So that's Matthew 18, 3 and 4. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humbling oneself as a child. And this is where I was using. Jesus is referred to several times in the scripture as teacher. We send our children to teachers to learn, use their examples, practice things, practice math, practice sports, until they get it right. They look to their teacher as their example. So if we humble ourselves as children before Christ and look to Him as our teacher and look to His example of, and I'm going to use forgiveness today, we'll get better at it. We'll learn and it'll become more instinctive for us. So become like a student and practice His example. So, how did Jesus forgive? What did our teacher do? In 1 John 1, 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not us, not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, our teacher, is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Every time He forgives. So I guess that that's when we're practicing forgiveness, that's the goal, is that we can be found to be faithful to forgive one another every time. Don't hesitate. So, how, and then Jesus also instructs us as to how we are to forgive. I'm going to go back, well, first I'll go to Luke 17, 3 and 4. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. That's what we're going to do. And then in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell on the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. And the lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay me back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell on the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. So, I have to forgive. Jesus was faithful to forgive me, like the king, and I like the slave. But if I don't pass his forgiveness on, I can't be forgiven. It says there in 35. And how much should I forgive you? 70 times 7, 490 times. That means as many times as necessary. There's no limit to how many times it needs to be. Your practice that when someone repents, you don't hold it back, you don't hold on to anger, you forgive. So that kind of asks the question, well, what does forgiveness look like? Well, it's letting go of anger. Romans 12, 19 and 21. This. Never take out your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. To forgive, you have to let go of your anger, let go of your wrath. That's God has claimed that that's his domain. That's his duty, not yours. Instead, let go of the anger and switch to kindness, mercy. And that is forgiveness. And it tells, feed your enemy. Your enemy, it doesn't have to be someone you're warring against. It could be someone who hurt you in this context. Give them a drink. Heap burning coals on your head. Give him the means to cook his food. That's not damnation on his head. It's kindness. And then Ephesians 4:29 and then 31 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word which is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And then 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ also has forgiven you. So, there again, when someone has wronged you, we're not supposed to, you know, it's easy if you've got the short end of the stick or got a raw deal to try and, or to desire, to spread it around to everybody so everybody gets angry with you. And I know the feeling, and but we're not to do that. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let go of that bitterness in 31. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. The forgiveness is kindness, is tender-heartedness, is mercy. forgiveness also means accepting suffering. No doubt, when someone has wronged you, it hurts. And if you're going to forgive them, you're going to have to accept some amount of pain. It may be physical pain, it may be emotional pain. Certainly when Christ forgave us, he accepted a lot of pain, all the pain. He was brutalized and he was crucified. We have to be willing to do the same and not turn that pain into wrath, but accept it. And we can be helped with our pain from Christ. In 1 Peter 5:10, that's not the right one. Well, I guess I'm going to have to find it. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So suffering will be part of forgiveness. But if we turn to one another for encouragement, and if we turn to Christ, the... what did it call? I liked the God of all grace. That's a beautiful way to look at of all grace. Will strengthen you, will comfort you, and establish you. So there will be suffering, but we have the God of all grace to build us back up. I wrote that. That's why I didn't have a mark. And then, so that's what forgiveness is. And then, what does forgiveness do for us? What does forgiveness do for our brothers? Well, it allows us to be forgiven, as in Matthew 18. Thirty-four and thirty-five, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed of him. My heavenly Father will do the same for each of you who does not forgive your brother from your heart. In order to be forgiven, we need to forgive. We're commanded to forgive, and there's some other verses that say along the same lines. So that's important, but and also importantly, forgiveness reaffirms our love for one another. Letting go of bitterness, letting go of that divide between us will draw us back to each other. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul, was writing to the church, and they had a member that they had who had done something wrong, and they had taken measures to correct him. And then Paul addresses that here in chapter 2, 5 through 10. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is the punishment which was inflicted by the majority. So that, on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, otherwise such a one might be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow. Wherefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end I wrote, so that I might put to the test whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgave anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So, they had a problem with an individual, and they inflicted a punishment on him. And it says here that that person was suffering, was obviously repenting, seeing his error. And then Paul tells them that, all right, we don't need to make this suffering too excessive. We need to reaffirm our love here. We need to draw this person back in. And that's what forgiveness is going to do. As we forgive one another, it's the same. When Christ forgave us, he drew us closer to him. And we can do the same when we forgive one another, is draw ourselves closer together, to reaffirm our love for one another. And then another thing forgiveness does is it shows Christ to the world. It's a testimony. In Luke 23, when it's talking about Christ's crucifixion, and the slave repents, or asks to be remembered when he's, and or Jesus assures him he'll be with him in paradise. The slave recognized, or the slave, this thief, recognized something different in Jesus. First, he recognized that this man had not committed a sin, and he saw that he realized that his punishment was deserved, but Christ wasn't deserved. But then he also saw Jesus doing something different too. He was up on the cross. After having been beaten, he's being put to death, and he is there up on that cross forgiving. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And then after he says that, he gives a little more detail of what's going on in front of the cross there, and that thief is moved. That forgiveness, he sees an innocent man not pleading for his life, not angry that this is happening to him, but forgiving openly. What a testimony. That person hanging next to him saw that. And we can do the same. We can show Christ's forgiveness to one another, to the world, by forgiving. That's a testimony. That's something that the world can't do, is show Christ's forgiveness. But if we are obedient and forgive, we can display that. And that is a very powerful testimony. Just like that thief hanging on the cross saw, we can show one another, we can show the world. So, I guess in summary, practice forgiveness. You know, the other things I mentioned that we practice, we prioritize those things. We commit time, we commit thought, we commit energy and study to those things. And that's an attitude we should take towards forgiveness. Don't put it off, but practice it. Strive for it. When you do that, just like when you practice anything else, you're going to get better. It's going to get easier. It's going to become more instinctive. And when it is our practice, we show Christ in us. So be like children. Humble yourselves. Look to the teacher. Look to the Father at his example, and put it to practice in your life.